This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back for Special Forces World's Toughest Test, episode number 8. And we are ready for another tough test, talking about Special Forces. And of course, back with me, the woman who will never VW, we hope. It's Jenny Autumn. Jenny, how are you?
Yeah, Rob, I'm great. I will not VW or retire, as Mike Piazza would put it, when trying to VW.
I'd like to retire.
I'm here. At this point, it's like, the end is in sight. Maybe not as close as I would hope it to be. But, like Mike Piazza, I am a team player, and I can't leave you behind.
Yes, so. I appreciate that. Would love to know from our podcast listeners, who I know would never quit listening to the podcast, but how many people are still watching the show?
A raise of hands, please.
Anybody? If you're still watching Special Forces, I don't want to get inundated by all the people who are not watching Special Forces. But hey, I'm still watching Special Forces. I know what you're talking about. I'm not just here for the podcast. Please let us know.
There are at least, I think, maybe 5.
Yes. Are there more people or more people in the show or watching the show?
Now, I think after tonight's or last night's episode, that we probably have more people watching than left in the show, but
it's close.
They could have dropped off after this episode as well. So it might be even. I don't know.
Jenny, we have the 4 people and we still have what? At least 2 hours of the show left.
Wild. Yeah. I really thought, based on how many people are left and what more can they do to torture and traumatize, that we could only possibly have one more episode. I saw the preview for next week, and I'm like, this looks like finale stuff to me. Mm-hmm. And no mention of finale. And based on the dates that we've been looking at, we are expecting that this goes to March 1st. So
yeah.
What happens if 2 people leave next week?
What happens if they all leave? People? I don't know if we'll just like have like flashbacks or what. But you know, the thing
a
is
reunion.
When you cast a reality TV show, the idea is you want sort of like colorful characters and big personalities. And sad to say, on Special Forces : World's Toughest Test, we're not really left with the like most like energetic, charismatic crew of people that have ever been assembled.
Wow, how dare you? Mm-hmm. I will say at this point,
they're
fine.
They're nice people.
We've got 4 celebrities left, and we have 4 special forces agents, the DS, left.
Yeah.
And I will say,
it's one on one now.
The special forces guys are giving me more.
Yes.
They have become essentially the stars of this television show, because they, you know, they're bringing it.
They bring a lot of energy.
And these people are running out. Like these celebrities that maybe had, you know, some vim and vigor and energy at the beginning of this whole journey are like quite literally depleted. Like we hear numerous times in this episode that they are running on reserve. And I think that will also translate to the entertainment value of the show, which again, this is supposed to be for entertainment?
Yes.
So I think that's impacting things as well.
And in fairness to the four people remaining in this competition, they are running on fumes. And so, like, totally understand why maybe they might not be bouncing off the walls. But Jenny, I guess let me talk about something that I have never seen before in my years of watching reality TV. This was, you know, a very terrifying moment with Gus Kenworthy, who we know just from like following like his appearance at the Grammys and whatnot, and that he's fine.
He's alive.
He's alive.
He's okay.
But I have never seen anybody experience what he did at the end of this episode. And I also have never seen anybody like projectile vomit on my television before.
Really?
I'm trying
on
to
TV,
think.
I
yeah.
guess. I feel like maybe I've seen it. I was certainly not prepared
Where
for it.
Where did you see it? Yeah.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of like, I watched a
Real
lot
life?
Of Jackass.
Yes.
Like,
okay.
You know,
I had to look away
as a teen. But it, I guess it's not really something that you're seeing on like primetime television very often.
Not often.
Is the projectile liquid vomit that I, you know, I watched the episode this morning.
Yep.
And I needed a trigger warning. I'm one of those people that does not do well by like the sound of somebody gagging is enough to get me going. And not only that, the literal yeah, scene.
Let me play the clip. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I'm just
kidding. Thanks. Great. Let's do it.
It was rough. It was rough. Now, do you think that Remy felt bad after? Is this Remy's fault? Did Remy do this?
Well, I still here's the, and this is my one of my many issues with this show is that like we didn't really get an explanation of what actually happened to Gus. Like it was explained that he like went into like anaphylactic shock. There was mention that he is
that
allergic
is a fun
to
word
beef.
To say anaphylaxis.
It is. Yeah, there's lots of fun syllables in that one.
I mean, it's not a
not
fun thing.
Experience.
Not
yeah.
a fun thing. But anaphylaxis. I mean, that sounds yeah. like I mean that's a. Pretty cool
I feel like
word.
That's like you know like a new age baby name or something. Like I feel like someone in Utah is like
for a baby
naming
anaphylaxis.
Their child anaphylaxis.
Is his first name middle name Phylaxis?
No, or you could like hyphen it like A N A and then like hyphen like Phylaxis. It's beautiful. But so like he gets what I believe it was like some sort of EpiPen kind of situation, or they said like, we're going to give you adrenaline. Is that what EpiPen is?
But I think so.
So I thought that he was just choking on like dust and sand because they, for those of the, besides the five people that did watch the television show, for those that did not watch it, when he pays the man, as Remy likes to make people do, he has to do what Hannah did last week similarly and get yourself completely wet and roll your ass in the sand. And we're not mailing it in. Remy tells him, use your hands to put the sand on your face and your hair. Like, I guess him rolling was not getting an acceptable amount of sand on his face. And he finished and then he had to do like a million burpees. After he finished is when he started like coughing and choking. So my first thought was he inhaled dusty sand because it's all over his face and he had to basically put his face in it. So he's just choking on sand. But then it got really serious and they didn't really explain what the allergic reaction was to. And then they take him off to the, like, there's an ambulance run after they give him the EpiPen because there's apparently, like, the risk of, what was it, like, reverse anaphylaxis or, like, rebound anaphylaxis.
You say so.
I think that's what they said is, like, he had his little, he expelled everything. And then he still did not feel well. So they like, let's take him to the hospital because he could have rebound anaphylaxis. But then like no update, like
no card.
I know he's okay. I saw him in those overalls, baby. Yeah. But like, they didn't even tell us like what actually happened to him and if he's okay. And I take issue with that. I can't believe they yada yada'd this man. Like
they yada yada'd.
What do you think happened? Do you think that he got stung by a bee?
That is possible. Are there a lot of bees out there? I mean,
I didn't see a single one.
I didn't see any bees. He didn't react to being stung by a bee, but they left in the question about, are you allergic to bee stings?
Yeah, the doctor said you're allergic to bee stings. So they probably knew that on his medical chart or whatever. But he didn't say, yeah, I got stung by a bee. Mm-hmm. He didn't seem to know what was happening.
Yeah.
So I would have liked an explanation of what actually happened. He got medically evacuated.
Okay. How about, could it have been the lunch?
Mm.
It looked pretty rough.
I would think that if the lunch was going to impact you, it would happen immediately on contact. That mm-hmm. lunch looked disgusting.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It looked like a really old expired bean salad with maybe cut up hot dog in it. It was mm-hmm. vile looking. Maybe a Vienna sausage.
Oh, yikes. So I'm seeing a interview with Gus Kenworthy. He says that he wanted to go back up a couple minutes after they administered the epinephrine.
Yeah. That's like an anti, that sounds like a
I think it's epinephrine,
med, right?
Yeah. He says, I felt completely fine and felt normal, stone cold, sober, breathing fine. I was like, oh, you want to go back in? And they were like, you can't go back in. There's a risk of a repeat anaphylaxis and we can't do it.
That doesn't shock me.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he was doing very well. Like, this was an episode where up until this point, he was kind of killing it. And, I think that he easily, if there was no risk of the rebound anaphylaxis, that he probably would have gone back in. Mm-hmm. But they weren't going to let Dr. Drew back in once he got himself properly hydrated. Mm-hmm. But I guess if it was only a few minutes after they take him out, it's like,
yeah,
I don't know.
He says it was a weird thing. It started off as just a cough. I felt like I had something caught in my throat. I was coughing and coughing, couldn't get it up. And I actually, I think that it was actually my throat closing. I didn't realize. It was just this really constricted feeling where my throat was basically closed up. It felt like something was there. It was getting harder to breathe.
But is this what happened to Eric Stein with his esophagus? Mm-hmm.
No, but Eric Stein swallowed a chicken bone.
Right. And then the chicken bone was just, okay, here's my question.
Yeah.
Did Gus Kenworthy swallow a bee?
Did he swallow a bee? Oh my God.
Was there a dead bee or a half dead bee in the bean salad gruel food?
Maybe there was a bee flew into the food. He was so tired. He didn't realize it. He didn't notice it.
It looks like it. Honestly, that whole trough could have been filled with bees.
Oh my God.
I wouldn't have known
this difference. This is nightmare fuel, Jenny.
It is terrifying. I know. The food looked disgusting and it easily could have just been bees.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps, it's flying around in his esophagus and stinging him while inside. So he's literally choking on the very thing that can cause him an allergy. That is a special kind of hell.
Well, Jenny, what's most ironic about this whole thing was that, Gus apparently lost his armband at some point, or he misplaced it and he came out.
It flew away.
And so maybe the bees took it. And so he mislaid his armband, is what we're told.
Yes. He put it down at some point and he thinks that it blew away while they were at the port.
All right. And so Remy, Remy, time to pay the man. Does he think that Remy has any time to pay the man merch out there?
I hope by this point this is this man's catchphrase, to the point where, Remy says to Gus, what's going to happen. And Gus says,
gotta pay the man.
I'm going to have to pay the man. they know. Mm-hmm. This is this has definitely been said more times than we've seen on air, yeah, for sure.
Do you think that Remy should make like more of a spectacle of it? Do you think that he should come out with like the little like book of the check of like if when you go to a restaurant, and then he should like put it on the table in front of them, and then opens it up and it's a bill and it's time to pay the man. It's like, will that be cash or charge, sir?
So you're saying that like he has his own like voucher at like restaurants where it's like
paying, with the recruits,
you have to
like
pay him.
No, oh, I think okay. Yeah, he should make it more of like be a little bit more theatrical with it. I mean, this is TV, okay. Jenny.
He gives them a bill,
yes,
like, and he's, yes, like, now I am the man, yes, and you are going to pay, yes, the man, and you choose your form of payment. Well, I don't think that he would give them the choice of form of payment.
Okay.
He's deciding that always.
Okay, how about this? Okay, what about, like, okay, they have, like, sort of, like a little mailbox slot, and then he, likes, like, they get an envelope, and they open it up, and it's, like, invoice. Oh, we owe Remy.
Yeah, it's like going to the diary room and you get like the, mm-hmm, envelope and you find out like what's going on and you're like, oh man, I have to pay the man.
Yeah. Or maybe like, did they get a phone?
25 burpees.
And they're like, oh, notification. Oh, Venmo request from Remy. time to pay the man. 400 burpees and
I
sand
really
in
wonder-
the face.
Hope you don't choke on a bee. Mm-hmm. I wonder how much he uses this in his everyday life. He could get himself paid so often, you know, mm-hmm, if he's just dropping, you know, you got to pay the man and he's the man. So
you got to pay the man. Okay.
Yeah. I have to believe he's got a t-shirt at this point. He's a star. I will say.
Somebody told us that they saw him on like a different show.
He was in a movie or something like that, wasn't, mm-hmm, he? Or
yeah,
it was a show. I also I think that at some point we power rank the Marine Corps four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
okay. Well, let's do it right now.
Like who you'd want to hang out with the most.
So let's see. Is he here he is. He's Remy Adelik, 96,000.
Adelik, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. But he is at Kijo Wear Founder. So he does have merch that is
Of course he does.
Yes. It's time to pay the man. Okay. Duh.
Really? Okay. I need to see that. Where did you find this?
It's Instagram. Okay. He's a filmmaker. He's a WGA writer. Is Bronx raised, Nigerian born, former Navy SEAL. So he's like a big deal.
He is. Okay. Wow. He's got a whole website.
Yeah.
I mean, good for him.
It's just
like
he does.
He's got seasons of clothing like on his website on Kijo Wear.
Yeah. And he's got a book.
Season. Oh my God. I saw him on this was early in the season. I think like right after the first episode, maybe. And he did like a podcast with Dr. Drew and like Kate Gosselin was there. He was on there. And then, mm-hmm, I believe Montel Jordan.
Oh, they, like, remember the Montel Jordan?
Yeah, I know. They yada yada'd him too. What is with this? But yeah, like I found this podcast on YouTube or something. I think it was Dr. Drew's podcast and Remy was there. And he's like that, and that is why, well, part of the reason why I feel like if we're power ranking like which of these, because I don't want to be around them in this context ever. Yeah. I do not want them to make me do anything. Like I am a weak baby. I'm maybe not like, you know, get hypothermia from falling in a puddle weak, but like,
right there, one step
like
up.
I am maybe one step up. I wouldn't want to do any of that, but like, I do think about like, you know, which of these people would I want to hang out with? And I think Remy's actually at the top for me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think so. He would be the best hang, I think, of
I think it's
between him and Rudy.
Rudy's Rudy's pretty bottom for me, actually.
Really?
I think.
Well, and Foxy would be okay.
I mean, Foxy is second for me.
Billy would be the worst hang, but he's, I think, number one in the power rankings.
100%. Like, he is, like, he is the, you know, the head bitch in charge. Like, mm-hmm. He's the head Billy in charge. Like, I am terrified of this man. And he just is so commanding. So he's definitely, like, top power ranking. Absolutely. But, you know, he's going to call me a Muppet. Like, he's mm-hmm. going to berate me, like, at some point.
For
and
sure.
I just, the vibes are not really, yeah. that doesn't align with me. Whereas I think, like, Remy would be, like, a good time. He'll laugh. He'll make some jokes. And I think that he does have, like, a soft, sensitive side. Like, I've seen him, like, you know, kind of show a little bit of, like, softness towards some of these people. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that here with Gus, because what I was getting to was it started off where, okay, he mislaid his armband and Remy is trying to, okay, got to pay the man. And then he's going to like try to make him learn his lesson. And you compromise your whole team. You didn't keep track of your possessions and you need that armband because without it, we need that armband to, we need to tell mommy that you indeed died. And then came very close, right?
Yeah, there was like some weird like connecting thread here with that statement of you lost your armband. Without it, we will not be able to identify you to mommy when you die.
Yeah.
Then he literally gets like goes into anaphylactic
shock. Put like a
shock.
Curse on him.
I know. It is wild. And then they take him away. And then we will get to this in more detail. But the way that they follow up with one of your own being taken away in an ambulance, no real explanation mm-hmm. of what happened to him and whether he's okay. Now we are going to come to terms with your potential mortality.
Right.
Like,
you don't think they sabotaged,
like
they poisoned
theme.
Gus to like set this up, do you?
Oh, you think that this
no,
was
I don't think so.
This was fixed?
That's that.
That'd
please
really
get out of here
up.
With that conspiracy theory, people.
In the
no
special
way.
Forces, you have to prepare for potentially swallowing a bee.
Mm-hmm. Yes, to be part of the lesson
is, this
plan.
This is a test.
Yeah,
we set this up for you.
But Jenny, so that there was such an interesting moment where, okay, you put the sand on your face, do the burpees, get wet, lay in the sand. Okay, and now you have to stay like that. For an hour. And then Remy says, mm-hmm. So, do you think that's fair? And Gus is like, Gus, don't fall for it. Gus.
I know.
Just say yes,
it's a
Steph.
Clear trap.
It's a, this is
you
a
almost
trap.
Doubled that.
This is a trap. But Gus speaks his mind. He's done that in the past. He says, mm-hmm. You know what? Honestly, I think it's a bit much.
But.
Yeah, it's like. But it's late in the game. Okay, so I guess
he's
I guess
like,
I understand
he's
it.
Like,
but.
I should know better. Like, mm-hmm. this isn't the first, you know, this isn't news. Mm-hmm. And you have to make it, he's like, make an example of me. I understand. And that was music to our Remy's ears.
Yeah.
And he said, you know what? Because you understand, I'm going to drop it down to 30 minutes.
Might have saved his life.
Just have to sit this way.
Might have saved his life. I mean,
what happens if he had to, you know, sit out there for, thank God people were mm-hmm. around. Like,
yeah.
how
yeah.
long was he coughing and spitting up before
everybody
even
heard.
Carly came outside?
And so, wow. And then basically we saw like the whole medical procedure. They had to give him the shot of adrenaline and we got to see the whole thing with the medics. And so, boy, a harrowing ordeal here
yeah.
in episode 8.
I did call this, I think, last week. I think
yes.
I did predict that it was Gus that...
You did. You did. I thought it might be Mike yeah. Piazza. I thought there was a chance, but looked like
and
the
I
person-
also predicted Mike Piazza not making it through like a few episodes mm-hmm. ago. So I'm done with my predictions at this point,
please.
By the way, but I'm not looking to curse anyone here. I just like,
yeah.
I have to make some sort of assessments, but yeah, like Mike lasted the night he slept and then was like immediately out of
yeah.
there.
Jenny, before we talk about Mike Piazza, let's just we didn't know anything about Gus Kenworthy. Eight
going
episodes ago,
yeah.
8 hours ago, mm-hmm. we didn't know Gus Kenworthy from a bee on the wall. But now here he is. And I have to say, one of my favorite people from the show.
Yeah, I'm a fan. He was really fun. He was like, he had edge to him. Like, I could tell, you know, he was trying to have fun out there, which drove the, like, the DS insane, which was also entertaining. Like, you know, I love people that put out really fun, positive energy. And being around someone like that is such a morale booster. So I have to imagine that, like, his fellow comrades really enjoyed him. And, like, I would love to, I think he has, like, you know, competitive, like, he's got such a competitive spirit that, like, I would love to see him in another type of competitive environment that
Challenge USA? Traders?
Sure.
Where do you want him?
All of them. I think that he would be great on Traders. I think, put him in the Celebrity Big Brother house if we ever do that again.
Okay.
I think that he would be giving good DRs.
He knows
I
the mooch. I think
that he would love to scheme with people. I just want more fun people that are going to, like, you know, fully embrace what they're doing and try to make it fun for themselves and everyone around them. Mm-hmm. He was not a stick in the mud. He was doing the worst shit ever and was still finding a way to laugh and to make jokes. And, you know, even so, he killed the task with the helicopters, which we'll get into. But, like, and, like, I think it was Foxy was like, oh, I thought you were going to, you know, jump out of the helicopter and do a backflip. He's like, oh,
no, I don't do that anymore. So he had a growth narrative.
He's like, Yeah. No, I literally knew nothing about this man. I don't know much about Olympians at all. But I'm a big fan of Gus. And it really was sad to see him, you know, be medically withdrawn or anyway, I don't know what
medically withdrawn. Yeah, MW.
Or IVW.
Oh my God.
But I would love to see him. If we're going to be bringing back people for, you know, some of these other shows, listen, you know, we had Ryan Lochte in the Celebrity Big Brother house and then
and the Traders. Yeah.
So let's keep it going for Gus Kenworthy. Yes. I think that he deserves at least one other show that isn't quite as punishing as this one.
And release the 80 for Brady kiss footage, you cowards.
Yes. Yes. Get on it.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Let's talk about Mike Piazza, who, as you mentioned, has also retired, a.k.a. VW from the competition. He had a rough episode last one. You know, I do think that they do try to keep, like, each episode is a day. So Mike Piazza, when he retires first thing in the morning and it happens at the start of the next episode, I think that that's been the case, right? Every single episode is, like, basically, like, from sunup to sundown on a certain day.
I think the one exception was when they ended the episode where we had the cliffhanger
the
of whether Danny was going to quit.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Oh, and that too.
Yes.
There was the one episode where, like, we had a bit of continuation then of the previous night because we had to figure out if Danny actually left or not. Mm-hmm. But in most cases, we're starting each episode as, like, the next day. There's 10 days. I think we'll end up with 10 episodes. So that seems to be the format here.
All right. So Mike Piazza wakes up during the night. He's not doing well. He got hit in the face in the last episode. Was that from the punching or from when he fell on his face?
I honestly think, oh, that's a good point. Because did the punching happen first or did he get gas?
I feel like
first?
He got, like, punched in the stomach really hard by Gus.
He got like a kidney shot, which looked really painful. Cause he fell in the gas.
He went down like a wet pile of you know what in the rain.
Yes, he did. common saying. So I'm thinking, like, did he fall and hit his face on like the metal floor of the shipping container, and that was how he banged up his face? But you're right, they literally fist fought. So he might have just gotten like rocked in the face by Danny. Hard to say. Danny, it was Gus that he fought.
Mike Piazza, you know, he could have played for another couple of years, but he didn't want to hang on and be 60 to 70% of what he was. I don't know. I think you can go back and check Mike Piazza's stats with like the San Diego Padres. You could maybe argue Mike Piazza maybe did stick around too long.
Well, that's why he talks so much about, you know, like, not wanting to be the guy at the disco when the lights turn on, because you can tell that he feels like that maybe that happened with baseball. Or is he's just like, he doesn't want to be the one hanging on.
Yeah. Mike Piazza,
he's maybe like a little bit in denial about it, but like deep down he knows that's like something that he could do.
He retired in 2007. He played 83 games with the Oakland A's in 2007. And looking at...
when did he leave the Mets?
His last year with the Mets was 2005. And then he did 1 year with the Padres. And then 1 year as a DH with the Oakland A's.
I mean, he left the Mets and his heart just wasn't in it anymore. Mm-hmm. That's probably it, right?
Yeah, maybe. let me see. So I'm on Baseball Reference. I'm not Chester here. It's very hard to figure out. Like, they have all these advanced stats. I'm just looking for like the basic stuff. But anyway, I probably wasn't pretty, if I had to guess. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's too bad. I mean, yeah, he clearly has done this because
44
he
RBIs.
Probably wants to keep going, right? Like that. This is definitely, he doesn't want to leave his team behind. But
he hit 275. You know, it's not nothing. So all right, good for Mike
nothing
Piazza.
To sneeze at.
Yeah.
But I really truly loved that he has, you know, baseball and sport terminology like so ingrained in him that like when he goes to Billy to tell him that he's going to leave, he says, sir, I would like to, I am going to retire.
Okay.
And Billy's like, you mean VW.
Right. And Billy like sort of gets him a pat on the back. You know, this show is not about like big, long, emotional goodbyes.
No. Like, this is probably the nicest thing you're ever going to get out of Billy. Like, Billy basically validates Mike's decision by saying, you were running on reserve and you still smashed it. And he says, I believe this is the end of the road for you.
Yeah. Okay.
So he's like, you might die if you continue today.
All right. So a farewell. No curtain call for Mike Piazza, who has left the show. Little bit of a look back at Mike Piazza on the show. This was hard for me, Jenny. I talked about this last week. Mm-hmm. I took no pleasure in this. Mike Piazza, one of my, you know, I would say childhood, but like icons of not even
of your younger. I guess not.
I think I was probably
young
20 when Mike Piazza got traded to the Mets.
Early days.
Of a happier time for sure. That I was, you know, like this was like the biggest superstar that ever found their way onto one of my teams. I will forever appreciate Mike Piazza, but I'll prefer to forget about this.
Yeah, this, well, I mean, as we heard last week, I think it was maybe Remy who said like, oh, like your kids didn't get to see you play pro ball, but they'll get to see you do this. Whereas like,
don't show
you
it
are,
to them.
You are saying, just show them the old baseball games. Like, show them the greatest hits. We don't need to show Mike Piazza getting, like, beaten down methodically over the course of seven and a bit episodes of a TV show.
Right. Okay. So let's go back to, all right. Then so after Mike Piazza left, then there were five. Hannah is the duty recruit. You know, Billy calls her out and asks how they're doing. And she's like, oh, we're on the reserve tank, sir. And he's like, "Reserve tank, you've slept more than a dead man."
Which is just simply impossible. I mean, unless the dead man has only been dead for like a few minutes. Also, how does he know how much they're sleeping? They could be in there and completely wide awake. Is he watching them?
But Jenny, I feel like that they were having a moment. I feel like that was a little bit of like, she's like, "Yeah, you're right. Okay." Well,
I think the thing is that like Hannah is a
classic
very good
Billy.
Sport.
Yeah.
And I think that like they clearly know that. They know now that they can kind of, you know, they can kind of razz her and she takes it pretty well. But she also has this like innocence about her where she kind of just like nervously laughs when, so I think that they like especially like effing with her. So I don't know. Hannah's been really fun. Like she's got such a good attitude. So,
yeah. So she goes in and tries to like boost the morale. And Dwight Howard asks a question. He wants to know, would you rather go to jail for 10 days or do this again? Jenny, let me ask you a similar question. Would you rather go to jail for 10 days or do another season of Special Forces World Toughest Test?
Now, are you asking whether I'd rather go to jail or podcast about this show, like a second season of
this show?
Let's
take the podcast aside because we have fun when we get together, okay? You're just going to watch
you're
it as a fan.
Do it.
Yeah, no, just watch
oh,
it.
Oh, just watch it.
Just watch
so you're
it.
Taking, so you're making me watch it, but you're taking the joy of podcasting with you.
Yeah, but it's not like one of like the really bad jails where you have to fight people and stuff like that.
Because I was going to say, I need to know some more details. Like, you know, what kind of jail is it? You know, what are they telling inmates that I've done? Do they tell, like, you know what I mean? Like, am I going to get beat up?
No, I don't think so.
10 days is not long enough, I think, to like really, you know. I don't know. I mean, I'm not looking to go to jail for 10 days, but I think I could probably handle
personally,
it.
Personally, I think I would do great in like a minimum security jail. Like not the one where you get beat up and like stuff like those gangs and stuff like that. But if it's just like, okay, do what you're told, stay in your cell, go. You have this time in the yard. Okay, that's
I love a good structured day, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like I don't have to answer email. Fine.
And you don't mind like bland food. So I feel like, you know, like you could survive. You're not that fixated on what your meals look like. I would hope that it would look better than the bean and bee salad that they were served. I have to believe prison food is better than that. Right.
Depends. I was watching a show on Netflix and they were like in the kitchen in jail. And I just saw them like a guy was like working like a big like mixer full of like mashed potatoes. So like, I wonder what goes on over there.
I love mashed potatoes.
I don't know if they were real. Like,
is there gravy?
Yeah. Is there gravy? So many questions.
Gravy, I'm in if they're serving me mashed potatoes.
What about instead of Special Forces? What if we took 16 celebrities and put them in jail? Would you watch that?
Is that not already a show? I feel like that they had to have done this.
No, I don't think so.
I think that if, okay, well, here's the thing.
I mean, you're thinking of Big Brother, Jenny.
Right, of course. Sorry, I mixed those two up. Very similar. I think that you can't do this show again because who the hell is going to sign up to do this? Especially now that you know, like, the different stages of like how things escalate. Like if you agree to go into this, you're like, well, I'm definitely quitting before the chemical warfare.
Right.
Like,
but just get these the same guys. It's like Billy is like the warden and like Remy is like one of the guards. Like you gotta pay the man now.
You gotta pay the man if you want
in the hole.
Yard time.
Yeah. So
I would watch
I think so.
I would watch that to podcast with you.
Yes.
That's about it, though. But I think that's if you wanted to take like these people and this concept and do it again with other people, you can't do it exactly like this.
That's the next season if we do another season. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, this is our big challenge for the day, Jenny. The helicopter extraction.
Mm-hmm. And this is clearly Foxy's thing. He's like, they always have like one of them kind of like leading the challenge. And we did not see Foxy like at all last week, I'm pretty sure. Foxy's back. He tells us about the type of helicopter. Did he say it's a Black Hawk?
I think
that's
so.
A helicopter,
Black Hawk.
Right?
Yeah, like
Black Hawk. It sounds
Hawk
like he's
down.
Saying Black Hog, which no, I think
like
is
Black
a
Hawk
terrible
down,
name
like
for
the movie.
Yeah,
that
right,
Josh Hartnett.
Exactly. I think that's actually like one of the few movies I've seen. Like this mm-hmm. was in the era, was it like 2004, 2003, yeah. maybe? This is back when I would go to movies because I was in high school and like yeah. I would go to the movies with people. I'm pretty sure I will never watch a war movie now ever in my life.
Not
I,
my
I
thing.
Hate the sound of guns.
Right.
And just any sort of like violence. But I did watch this. I remember that.
You know, I used to own the website, joshhart.net.
Did you sell that?
I think I just let it lapse. I thought maybe somebody would like want to buy it from me. But...
Are you holding on to any of these old websites?
No.
Yeah.
Sometimes Josh I'm like, oh, Hart. I think like I used to think like, oh, if you get a good domain name, then people will then want to buy it from you.
I knew this about you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're an entrepreneur from the start.
Yes. Yes. that, you know, we had some other decent ones along the way, but ultimately didn't, nothing came to be. All right. I digress. So, all right, helicopter extraction. D.S. Remy will perform how to do this. Do you ever wonder if the other guys could do it?
Yeah, because, like, do you think that he's just, like, the youngest and most fit?
Yes, definitely.
So they, like, have him, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like, they never, like, hey, Foxy, you want to take this one? Like, no. D.S. Remy, he's got it.
No, Foxy has one job, and it is close talking to the camera in confessionals and talking about mental toughness. Yeah, no. And Remy, like, they just love, like, this is the, like, the wildest, most physically fit man you'll probably encounter in your entire life. So just follow what he does here. Like, you can clearly replicate this guy, like, making quick work of the rope up to the helicopter. Mm-hmm. Like, and I will say, even like, it looked hard to me when Remy was doing
it. Yes.
So I was like, and I know how badass this guy is. So I'm like, this is not going to be good. This is not going to be good.
Jenny, I feel like that staff also has like a very specific batting order that they always go with. Like Danny Amendola never leads off.
Right. Yeah.
It's always like, they all right, up first, the mooch.
Yeah, they seem to get people that they think are going to struggle to go first, which I think is twisted. And I, you know, this is something I've been taking issue with for several episodes of this show, where in some of these tasks, you do get an advantage by watching other people go first. And also in this particular task, between people... I feel like, I can't remember if it was, yeah, Remy would like pop in and like give them tips or something. He'd be like, okay, so you know, like you gotta get up there fast because you're gonna use all your energy. Like, I felt like he was giving new tips
yeah.
to people after each person went.
So
it's like you're literally getting an advantage by just watching what people do, how, like, what mistakes they make. And like learning how you should do it better, and also literally getting tips from people. So it's like you're sending poor Hannah Brown out first mm-hmm. to do this when she has seen Remy do it. That's mm-hmm. it. And she hasn't gotten all of the extra information from people to be like, okay, well, don't do this, do this when you get here. Like, it seems unfair. Like, let the person that is probably going to crush it go first.
Yeah, but that's not how we're going to do things. So Hannah Brown
goes,
okay. And she has to, you know, if you didn't watch the episode, they basically, you had to jump out of a moving boat towards a buoy as a mm-hmm. Black Hawk helicopter flies towards you. And the Black Hawk helicopter will drop down a rope like you would climb in gym class. And you must climb the wet knots. Rope into yeah. the Black Hawk helicopter so that you could be extracted. And so...
And Did they have gear on? They didn't have like a full backpack, but it looked like they were like heavy.
Off, I think. Yeah. They weren't in bathing suits. Like they were in their normal, like,
no,
like
they
army
were
clothes.
Like in full gear. Yeah. Maybe without the Bergen, but, the other thing was like the helicopter as it approaches is like whipping the water around at the bottom.
Like it's hovering. So it's like, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not just like, oh, there's just a stationary helicopter.
Do it in a wind tunnel also.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Hannah Brown, she gets from the buoy to the rope. My favorite part of all of this was that Billy is just up in the helicopter, just like screaming his head off. Like the whole time, like, come on, come on, do it, climb the rope now, do it, come on.
Yeah. This man has, you know, the strongest vocal cords of them all. He might not have like the physical fitness that Remy has at this point, but like he is the best yeller they've got on the team.
Best one,
like,
far and away. Hannah Brown, it is not happening.
No.
Not close.
I mean, the rope is wet. They are soaking wet. And then there's like the pressure of the helicopters, like,
and you're also exhausted from the swimming.
Yeah. It's not. And you're also exhausted from the chemical warfare. And
right.
The,
that happened yesterday.
Yeah. Like all of the other things
you have no food.
That you've been doing.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. So then Carly Lloyd is up next. She does a little bit better.
She gets up a little further, but. And then they let her go again. So she got a fail. Or they said that she failed. She fell in and then they're like, oh, let's let her try again. And then she gets up a second time, makes it a little bit further and ultimately falls in again. Like, how are they deciding, like, who could try again after falling? Because I feel
think
like
if you were up for it, you could try again. I think they
could
give you
tell
a second
that
shot.
You were trying to get back up. Yeah.
Yeah. If you weren't just given, they don't want to see you just like
Carly's
give up.
Not a quitter.
Yeah. Okay. So that fail. And then as you go, like swim back to shore, Remy's like, swim faster.
Yeah.
What's your problem?
Remy wants you to be doing everything with a quickness, you know, like
faster.
He's like, run, swim faster. Like you are never going fast enough for this man.
No.
Guaranteed.
Okay. Danny Amendola. He's feeling like, my shoulder's a little effed up from fighting Dwight Howard. I don't know. No problem.
Yeah. Like he basically says that like he can shut down like pain, like his pain tolerance just becomes like not an issue if he's like in the zone. And clearly that's what he had to do. But he mentions, and again, this is where like you get information from like the person that it's not like they didn't get to watch and like talk to people after they did it. He basically comes back and says like, use your lower body to help you because like if I was relying solely on my upper body, I wouldn't have been able to do it. Like use your feet to like launch yourself up.
Billy compliments Danny Amendola. I feel like that Danny Amendola is clearly Billy's favorite. He gets in the helicopter.
Oh, yeah.
Billy's like, good man, you did it.
Yes.
Billy was so pumped up.
Yeah, he let out a few expletives. We got some bleeps. So I think he said, effing good man, I believe is what he said.
He did it.
And good effort, effing good effort. Mm-hmm. So that's how you know Billy is really chuffed to bits, you know? Like
for
he's,
sure.
Yeah. And I think that like Billy and Danny have had like a very, you know, interesting arc where like, you know, they were in each other's faces. And I think that this is the thing is like Billy picks on Danny the most because he loves him the most. Mm-hmm. It's like he's his son, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's kind of the relationship that they've grown here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful story.
Very nice story. So then we get to Dwight Howard. And Dwight Howard, he's nervous to be in the ocean, but I feel like that this is the first that we've heard about this because I feel like they've been in the ocean a couple times before. And I don't feel like that we've seen Dwight Howard mention this.
I think more of the ocean stuff was like earlier on in the season. And I think that they had so many,
other people
that were like, you know, like crapping their pants that they didn't need to focus on Dwight's fear of the ocean because they were focusing on all of the other people that were eventually going to quit. So, But yeah, he said that like when he found out that he was going to do this, that was his like first thought was mm-hmm. was having to be in the ocean, which I don't even think that's what I would think about. Like I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think, well, I'm going to be in the ocean.
It's not being a Navy SEAL, but what are you going to do? So, all right. So Dwight Howard, that apparently he let go of the rope too early. So he had to do a lot of swimming from the buoy to the rope. And he goes to the rope. And you know, for Dwight Howard, like, I think a big part of this is, you know, Dwight Howard is like 6'10". And then like the Danny Amendola and Gus, like they're strong guys. They're athletes. But I don't think that neither of those guys, I don't think is 6 feet.
Yeah, I want to say that they're like close to 6 feet, but maybe not quite there.
Yeah, Danny Amendola's 5'11". These guys are like sort of like more like compact and, you know,
center of gravity,
lower center of gravity. And but like for Dwight Howard to climb the rope. You know, this was like a very, no pun intended, a tall order.
See, and I always loved like dissecting where the height difference, can be, you know, a hindrance or perhaps a benefit. And I thought like, okay, well, if he has like longer limbs, like, can he reach a higher rope, like quicker?
Mm-hmm.
Than somebody like, because we heard from Hannah that like the first rope was like the first knot was already too tall for her or something like that was why she couldn't really get herself up.
Mm-hmm.
But like for Dwight, do you think like because he's tall, like he can reach up and get like more leverage first? And do you think that
do you think
that the fact that there's just so much more of him that like pulling himself up vertically is like,
yeah, it's harder. He needs more calories. It's probably like, closer to 300 pounds. Right. Gus Kenworthy, he's 5'10 also.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, that is like a significant difference. And I think that you're right that probably being like a more compact, especially if you have like mm-hmm. a lot of like upper body strength, with which I think
Dwight Howard probably outweighs both those guys by almost 100 pounds.
Yeah. And I think, you know, maybe Dwight like is more of like a cardio guy than like a strength guy. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, that the cardio can only help you so much, I think, in this situation. Like how you would need to, I would die. I would not be able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be able to do this with a dry rope laying on a floor with no helicopter. Like, there's no effing way.
Well, it went bad for Dwight because they had to send the divers in.
Yeah, so he went under. So he fell. He it looked like he might make it up for a second because I think he got like.
And then it looked like he might not make it up out of the water.
Yes. So he goes into the water and then all of a sudden Billy, and it's nice to see Billy yell at somebody else for once because Billy starts yelling like, he was saying something like he's in trouble. Or something like that. I don't know. He was yelling that like Dwight was in trouble and he's like, get into the water.
Mm-hmm.
To the
safety team. Mm-hmm.
So he yells at everyone.
Yeah. And so Dwight Howard ends up coming up. Luckily Dwight Howard is okay, but he's going to be on the radar of staff after this.
Yes, because, you know, again, when he's trying to return to the rest of the group after potentially almost drowning, I mean, he was underwater, you know, for long enough that they sent the safety team in, maybe got some water in the lungs, maybe really gassed. Remy is still not pleased with the fact that he's not running back fast enough.
It's not like, running.
This man almost drowned.
Did he? Are you alive? You should be running.
Yeah, I get, that is
pay the man.
That's probably a T-shirt of Remy's. It's mm-hmm. like, if you're alive, you better be running.
Got it.
Like,
that's I'm gonna get one.
Put it on a shirt.
Yeah. Jenny, we had one last person to go, and that was Gus. We don't really spend a lot of time with Gus, other than he nails it. He
did. I think he even did better than Danny. Like he mm-hmm. was up there real quick.
Yep. He got up there real quick. Didn't do a stupid backflip out of the helicopter. Nailed it.
Out of the helicopter.
Yeah. So this was a great final act on the show for Gus.
Yes. That's why I was saying it was especially hard to see him go because we, you know, he did a great job in this task. And then when he has to pay the man, he shows growth and understanding that like sometimes things aren't fair, but maybe he should know better, make an example of him. And then he just chokes and almost dies.
Okay.
Terrible.
All right. Well, we talked about everything that was going on with Gus. I guess that there was one other thing that happened between that point and what we're talking about now. Steph was not happy with Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard gets home, lays in the bed for a second, like, get him in here. Get Dwight Howard in here right now. Okay.
Yeah.
Dwight Howard, come on, come on in. Remy and Billy, they feel like he's regressed. Seems like you're not all there. You're not all in. Are you committed to the process? Do you have any issues with commitment?
And Dwight's like, I mean, you know, I've maybe been within relationships, like girlfriends and stuff. I've been criticized
That's
about my
not
level
what they
of
were
commitment.
There to talk about.
They were not looking for that answer.
Yes. I mean, according to Wikipedia, unrelated to nothing, Dwight Howard has 5 children by 5 women.
So, I mean, he's clearly committed to his children, as we have seen. But yeah, you know, he has had commitment issues in the past. He's very honest about that. He says,
yes,
with women, I have been not so committed.
Yeah.
Well, no lies detected. But they don't want to talk about women, Rob.
We're not here to talk about this. Isn't guy talk.
No, we're talking about daddy now.
Yes. But, you know, while I'm here on the Dwight Howard personal life on Wikipedia. Dwight Howard won a defamation judgment against Royce Reed, mother of his oldest child. I guess she was on Basketball Wives and disparaged him on Twitter. In addition to that, that Dwight Howard keeps approximately 20 snakes as pets and appeared twice in Animal Planet's reality TV series Tanked.
What?
Yes, I guess that's a snake show.
I would assume
Tanked was
so,
an American reality television series that aired on Animal Planet. The series followed the Las Vegas-based aquarium manufacturer Acrylic Tank Manufacturing. Also, he owns a farm in North Georgia where he relaxes with cows, hogs, turkeys, and deer.
I like that. Those 4 specific animals, though, like these are his animals of choice that he likes to relax with.
Yes.
Okay. What were those? Deer?
Cows, hogs, turkeys, and
cows,
deer.
Cows, hogs, turkeys, and
the big
deer.
4.
I mean, I feel like the first 3 are very common to be like on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
The deer part is like a little random, I think.
He also,
I don't know if I would see those like in the farm with the hogs.
Yes. He also competed in season 6 of The Masked Singer as Octopus.
Oh.
Not one of the big 4.
How did
4.
He do? Did we? Yeah. Week 4. Okay.
Let's see. Season 6 of The Masked Singer. Spoilers for Masked Singer season 4. That was the season Todrick Hall was the runner up.
Oh boy.
Ultimately, he lost to Jewel, the winner. I mean, that seems a little unfair. And then also notables in that season were Catherine McPhee, Honey Boo Boo, Rob Schneider. And unfortunately,
where's Honey Boo Boo on this?
Unfortunate Larry the Cable Guy. Unfortunately, Dwight Howard, the octopus, was the first one out.
Oh no.
Yeah. Sad.
Wow. So he's no stranger to the reality television
and
I
the
guess.
Fox Network.
Yeah. He's he's only foxing around, I guess.
With Foxy. Okay. Yeah. All right. So we talk about the relationship with his dad.
Yeah, Remy goes, he's like, I'm going to get real here. Tell me about your relationship with your dad. It's like,
okay,
who told this man he's a therapist? What are we doing here? And honestly, if he wants a job, he should go to MILF Manor and discuss the relationship. What? Tell me about the relationship with your mom.
Oh, like, okay. Yes.
Remy needs to interview some of these people if he really wants to get into like weird parental relationships and the damage it causes.
For sure. Okay. All right. So are Dwight Howard's parents judging him now?
I think that they are probably looking at this and being like, well done. I don't know. But they're maybe not happy that he said on TV that he doesn't trust them and that he feels judged by them. Maybe they didn't love that too much.
Well, he grew up in a very Christian background.
Yeah.
So what are you
going to do? He's around a lot of women. They didn't like that.
They didn't like that. Maybe they didn't love the Masked Singer also.
That must have been it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they didn't like all the snakes. Of course, if you are, you know, if you're Christian background, I mean, who's like the number one antagonist in the Bible? A snake.
That's symbolism there. Mm-hmm. So they probably didn't approve of that choice either. They're like, you're around all these women and all these snakes.
Yep. Temptation all around.
Two worst things in the Bible.
That's right. Okay. So ultimately they say, we know there's more in you. Okay. So that's what's going on with Dwight Howard. All right. Head up.
That's a good
pep talk
for him. He seems like he said he needed that.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So we end up with then after Gus is medically withdrawn, now it's time for story time.
It's death letter time.
Yeah. So they gather everybody around. And I don't know if they had something else planned that day, because I feel like every other episode.
They usually do like another physical thing.
Usually
right?
It's two things. And I wonder if they had like a different activity plan. I'm like, oh, let's just do the death letter thing. All right.
That's what I'm thinking, because they're like, okay, they had a really scary thing happen with like one of their guys like went down and he got taken away in an ambulance. Now's the time to like, you know, psychologically and emotionally really get at them and have them think about what if they were to die?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's address that.
So, yeah, write your death letter. Okay. Because I don't want to make light of this. Because I really don't know. Like, do you do this before every mission? Do you have to write this? You write this letter?
I'm guessing, and I know nothing, as usual, but my guess is that it's not something that is asked of you, and it maybe just becomes like a thing that people do because they don't know for sure. And they feel like they want to have something, if something were to go wrong, I guess. I don't necessarily know that they're like, okay, everyone get together and write your death letters as a group.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might just be like a culture thing that people do.
All right. So everybody get together, write your letters. They call out Dwight Howard. They said, hey, what's going on? He's like, hey, I'm only up to my fourth kid.
Yeah, I got five writing kids. Separate letters for each one.
I got to write all the different letters. Okay. All right. So let them rip. And so everybody gets really into it.
Yeah.
You know,
and you know, everyone's crying while they're listening to other people's letters.
Mm-hmm.
They all seemed like they seemed hesitant to like share their letters with each other. They acted like this was like the biggest challenge of all is being emotionally vulnerable in front of other people. Like that's what this like message seemed to be here, because it's like every single one of these episodes, it's like you have two challenges. You have like the first one that's like, oh, this seems really challenging and bad. And then you have the second thing, which is even worse.
Right.
And so I feel like they're trying to say like, oh, you thought trying to climb a rope into a helicopter was hard? Try being vulnerable. Like, that is the true ultimate like challenge of life.
Yeah. What's interesting about this is I feel like they've never done this before, like on Survivor. Of course, famously, people on Survivor, they get letters from home, they get visits from home, but they've never had to actually like write a letter to the people at home that mean the most to you. The closest we ever got to this was in Survivor 38, The Edge of Extinction, when the survivors famously wrote letters to themselves.
Right.
And then this was a big part of Chris Underwood's growth story, of that he read the letter he wrote to himself.
Yeah, I think that they should have written letters to themselves here too, because mm-hmm. I think that if you know, if they want to give them the final push to keep them going, you know, giving
keep
yourself
going.
A pep talk.
Yeah.
I think that this would mess you up because you're like, oh my God, okay. This has been so hard. It apparently is only getting tougher, and I am depleted. My friend, who was like one of the most tough people out here, just got medically like evacuated and almost died like 10 feet away.
Yeah.
Let's think about maybe we die. Let's write a letter about it. Like, this is not going to make me want to keep going. I'm going to be like, yes, I'm out.
It's almost like a different like exercise than I, because I feel like that in real life, okay, these are the real special forces people. They're going into a mission. They may not come out on the other side. Like, this is, you know, a great exercise that they could let the people back home know how their loved ones felt about them going into this battle. For this is almost like that, like realize how much you love the people back at home. Like, these people, like knock on wood, are all going to come out on the other side of this. It's almost like that they need to, like, this is about teaching them to appreciate what they have at home.
Yeah, I feel like that there's definitely like an underlying emotional message with all of like the therapy sessions in that random interrogation room. It's like they're not really saying it, but like they're insinuating that like this whole process is going to make you a better person and appreciate what you have mm-hmm. and like in life and at home a lot more, even though they're not really like blatantly saying it. Like, I think that that's the message everyone is taking away from it. And they're like, you're probably writing this letter and being like, God, I'm so glad that this is not like a real thing that I'm having to do, which is like so dark. It's like, you're like writing fake letters in case I die and thinking like people have done this and then died. Like, it's so dark. Mm-hmm. So I understand why that is like a thing where they're like, okay, now we're really going to mess with them, because like that would mess me up. I would not be like feeling bad for myself in that moment. I'd be like, oh my God, how many people have like, you know, just kind of like feeling more connected to people who have actually done this and served, you know, their country and not come home, and like what they had to write to their family. Like, that'd be the part that would mess me up the most. Not even thinking about my own family. So like, well, I feel like that part is like really messed up, where they're just like, yeah, this could be you. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah. Well, Jenny, this whole process has made me appreciate what we get to do here together.
Oh my gosh.
Week after week. There is only 2 hours left of Special Forces World's Toughest
Somehow.
Test. I think only 2 hours. That's two more nights.
They did not say anything. I think that it can't be more than two, unless they do like a longer finale, but like, they're going to have like two people left at that point.
If anybody else leaves, could you imagine?
You think that the final four, they're lasting, they got two more to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Next week looks terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, they've lost, like, I'm going to have a hard time watching next week.
What did you make out from what you could see?
Okay, well, the one thing is, this is your introduction to not being able to breathe, which I thought they kind of already had an introduction into not being able to breathe when they gassed them.
Mm-hmm.
That might have been an introduction in not being able to breathe, but apparently that wasn't. I don't know. We do get, someone is going to get called a Muppet. I don't think anyone was called a Muppet this week, so thank God that's going to be back. Mm-hmm. It looks like the camp is going to be evacuated. And then it basically looks like simulated war. It looks like there are like fire strikes and shooting, and that, like, my blood pressure is already like shooting through the roof, and I am going to need a stiff drink while I watch this next week.
Oh my God. Okay.
Cause I don't, there's a reason why I don't watch things with guns and violence. I did not sign up for this. I did not know that this would be part of the deal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I hope everyone, and I see Dwight Falls at some point. That's all I got from the preview for next week.
All right. Well, Jenny, we're closer to the end of this journey than we were, you know, at the beginning.
That is true.
I thought this was one of the most fun recaps that we've done.
I don't disagree. I have a good time. Like, that's the thing is, like, it's twisted. This show is twisted. Watching it is sometimes my world's toughest test, mm-hmm. but podcasting about it with you is like the best. It's something I look forward to every week and I always have fun, and somehow we make something out of it. And I think we learn more about each other, mm-hmm. and you know, I'm just grateful. Like you said, this, I'm making me very, very grateful for the life I have.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. And I appreciate you, Rob. And I appreciate anyone who listens to this podcast, whether you're watching
so much.
The
Thank
show
you.
Or not. Yes. Like, the fact that anyone is listening to us do this is beyond me. And I'm so grateful to everyone who supports us and has, like, listened to all of our podcasts that we've done, because it's not always sunshine and daisies, you know?
No
Sometimes
way.
You're writing death letters.
Yeah. All right. Jenny, what's coming up for you?
Seeing this through, because you and I are not quitters, at least not this time. Some other little things coming up maybe in the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I will follow me on Twitter at Jenny Autumn, and I will shout out what's going on with me.
Okay.
But other than that, looking forward to Survivor coming up. It's like, what, 2 weeks away now? Mm-hmm. Big Brother Canada around the corner. So that there'll be lots more going on than just World's Toughest Test.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to that as well. But this has been a joy every week.
We are going to have a lot more Survivor 44 previews to come. I have Issa Look coming up with Bryce Isaiah on Thursday. Talked about Tough as Nails as well, which is also coming to an end coming up next week on Wednesday night. So be on the lookout for that. Plus everything else we have going on over on robisawebsite.com. Thank you so much for joining us. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.